Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
So we were just talking about...
Well, that's what we do on a podcast.
Yeah, and we should have started the recorder before we did this. But by the way, this is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. There's Mark Clifton there. And there's Halleck, Mark
Halleck.
Hey, Halleck's
guys.
You guys are in different seats this time.
I know.
It feels a little weird. We've changed seats.
I'm right. Dan Hurst. There's Kyle Bearman over here, where he's supposed to be. So we were talking before we pushed record about church buildings. And Clifton, you said church buildings are more important in some cultures than they are
in
others.
Yeah, I mean, they matter a lot more in some places than they do in others. I think they matter everywhere, frankly. I've always believed that. You know, I don't know if you know this, guys, or not, and you guys may want to just stop the car if you're driving or if you're jogging. Just take a listen, because this is one of those profound things that will probably change your life. It has mine. Did you realize that the church is not a building?
Oh, when did that happen?
I had a young seminary kid email me one day, and I was talking about going to church, and he said, "You can't go to church. The church is not a building." And it just changed everything in my life. So, dude, if you're listening, man, I appreciate it. You know, that first year seminary, we know the church. We know the church is not a building. See, I didn't fall off the potato truck yesterday. But that does not mean that buildings don't matter.
Right.
And I hear all the time, you know, in the first century, they met house to house. They didn't have buildings. Well, I don't know. I'm not living in the first century in Corinth, right?
Right.
I'm living in Kansas City, Missouri. Mm. I got to have my culture and my context. So, I want to understand. I want you to understand that there are places where buildings matter more than others, but I think it always matters. And we have a lot of church property, a lot of church buildings across North America. And, you know, what are we going to do with those buildings? And why do we work? See, sometimes in replanting, people, what are you trying to save this old church building for?
Yeah.
And a lot of good reasons. So we're going to talk today about why church buildings matter.
Yeah.
And some church buildings matter more than others.
And certain parts of the building matter more
than
others.
That's right. And in certain cultural contexts, they matter more than others.
Yeah.
And architecturally, some of them matter more than others.
Sure.
You got to understand that. Architecturally, to a neighborhood, a church could be very important. It's part of the culture context of the neighborhood. So, now that we've bored you to death about this, it's going to get even more boring. So don't go anywhere. So
no, this is really important because I mean, as a church, for example, in planting a church, that certainly is critical, and then in replanting.
Yeah,
you're basically dealing with something that somebody else, a decision that other people made.
You got to have space. You know, last night we were at my house and we were looking at all the stuff I did in the 80s and 90s in church planting, and it was we're not going to get into it now, but you know, it was all cutting edge church growth stuff.
Yeah.
Seeker sensitive church growth stuff.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And you know, we weren't looking to get into a building. We were looking to get anything except a church building, right?
Yeah.
Any environment other than a church building is what we wanted.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And, of course, you know, there was a time when that was what we wanted to do. But I think we've come back around and realized that church buildings do actually matter.
Okay, you made the statement, and you said you used this example, that perhaps like out on the West Coast, it isn't near as important as in the South.
Yeah, because, out in Southern California and that kind of thing, the buildings are – people are more transient. They come and they go. The culture hasn't been there that long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not that established sense of what a church culture looks like. Whereas if you're in Alabama or Mississippi or in rural Missouri, church buildings matter a lot more culturally. So you have to kind of take that into context. But I think they matter everywhere. So let's talk, Halleck, why your church building still matters. And again, in case you've forgotten, the church is not a building. It's people, you know?
Have you heard that before?
I have heard that before, right?
Halleck, talk about this.
Well, I mean, let's just
because your church is an old building.
We're an old building. Well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking as you guys are talking. I'm going, you know, what would happen if the church building where we are at Calvary in Inglewood just disappeared? If it was scraped, which it was very close to closing down, right? And it became apartment complexes. Well, it would have a radical effect on that neighborhood because our church is more than just – now, we could say, but we need a place to gather to worship. Of course we do. But our building's more than that for the community. You know, it's become, in a sense, I believe, a lighthouse for the gospel in many different ways. I hope that our neighborhood knows our building exists for you, not just for us. And that's a different mindset, right? In fact, what we know about a lot of dying churches is the attitude's the opposite. This is our building, and they don't belong in our building.
Yeah,
right?
we're going to take good care of it. And we're going to lock it up. And,
that's right. We're going to lock it up.
Put a chain across the parking lot.
That's right.
And exactly. Don't want no skateboarders on this property.
Oh, my
buddy.
Gosh, man. Well, yeah. When I first came, there were signs all around the property that basically tried to strike the fear into kids. It's like, do not. No, yeah. Neighborhood kids can't play here. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just quietly took them all down.
Yeah.
And I said, but, you know, what was that communicating to the community? Well, now, you know, I think about, you know, some of the things that, how God is using our church. And I was brainstorming this with a guy last night. You know, say you're in our neighborhood, which is lower income. Say you're a young couple and you've got three little kids and you don't have a lot of money. You live in a one or two bedroom little apartment complex. And you want to have a birthday party. And you know what? You want your kiddo wants to invite all their friends. Well, it's really hard to pull off in a little apartment. And it's also hard to pull off when you don't have a lot of money to go rent the bowling alley or something like that. Well, what if our church, right, could be the place, come on in. You can use our fellowship hall and you do whatever you want, you know. Yeah. And I look back and we've done that over the years.
Yeah.
And it's and what that says not only to that family but to those families and those kids, it says what I hope it says is Jesus loves you and we love you. And we want to serve you.
So I want to give you some key points on why your church building still matters.
Okay.
Number one, are you ready? Every community needs a sacred space. Mm. Now, I realize some of you go, that's kind of weird. Okay, maybe it is, but, you know, I still like it because I came up with it. So physical spaces set apart to worship remind us that God is holy, and then we gather for his sacred name. People drive by this every day, and they say, well, there's a place where people who trust Jesus and believe him gather. It's a reminder. It's a physical reminder in the neighborhood of the presence of a church, of a biblical, evangelical, Southern Baptist church. It's a physical reminder of that. And in a sense, it is sort of a sacred. I know it's not sacred in the sense that, you know, I know what I'm saying and I know what I'm not saying.
Yeah.
But go with me here, all right? There's an identifiable place that goes, hey, I've been to your church neighborhood.
Yep.
There's all kind of cannabis stores all around
all
right?
Over the place. Yep.
And I've been, you know, where I am, there's all kinds of liquor stores everywhere.
Yep.
Hey, there needs to be a place in the community to go, this is not a cannabis store. It's not a liquor store.
Right.
You know, it's not. It is an actual sacred place where people gather to make much of Jesus
this
on a regular basis.
It's a Jesus store.
It's a Jesus place.
Right.
And it's a reminder.
Yeah.
And even, you know, even the cross on the building or the steeple that points us toward heaven, even the architecture that's different than
Amen.
The other things
totally.
Is really important. And so I think we need buildings because communities need to have an identifiable sacred space.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, I really do. Also, you know, it's a place for corporate gatherings.
Yeah.
Like you said, the church has to gather somewhere.
Exactly.
And it needs to be a dedicated building for regular, consistent corporate gatherings of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been a church planter, and so has Dan. And, you know, it's really a struggle to, if you don't have a building, are we going to gather in a school? Are we going to gather in a movie theater? Are we going to gather in a daycare center?
Mm-hmm.
I've had them in a funeral home. I've been everywhere in planting churches. And I agree, once you're in the room, you know, the Holy Spirit takes place and doesn't matter where you are, Jesus is there and he's present
right.
and all that. But I do think just the added challenge of bringing everything in, setting it up, knowing whether you can have it week to week, what happens if the janitor doesn't show up, what happens if they need the facility that week, the inconsistency of that. So having a building gives you a consistent place to gather. It's one less thing to worry about.
Well, listen, here I was literally on the phone with a pastor 2 days ago who's a church planter.
Yeah.
And they have been – it's year five of their church plant. They are now in their second space, and it's tear down and put every week. And he called me, said, Mark, we've reached a point. There's three families now that have said they just can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And they're looking at leaving their church. And that they're three important families.
Yeah.
And they're godly people, but they're exhausted by it. And so, again, there's something with that. Here's the other thing I was going to say. And I'm all for, hey, that's great. If you are passionate about that kind of house churches, and I think there's ways to do that in really biblical, healthy ways. But one thing I've seen over the years, I've run into guys who go, man, I'm all about the house church. That's all I do. We don't need a building. Mm-hmm. We meet in homes. And then they start growing.
Yeah.
And they quit, and they'll come back and say, you know, I've just been kind of rethinking the whole house church thing, and we kind of need a space.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of inevitable, I think, in a lot of ways.
And then we need a space for the children,
for kids, a safe
environment for kids to be in, and those kinds of things. We need a place where people can – we can have a meal if we need to have a meal.
That's
If we're going to have a funeral and afterwards
funeral,
we want – all those kinds of things. So I know it seems like – as obvious as a nose on your face, but you need a building to help facilitate the ministry. So number one, you need a sacred space. I think every community needs sacred spaces, an identifiable place. I think number two, it's just a corporate gathering place that just removes one obstacle and you don't have to worry about it. And as a church planter, you know, if we'd bring the trailer in, we'd have to bring the coffee, have to bring the cups, have to bring the preschool equipment, have to bring the sound equipment, have to set up the chairs. Honestly, guys, sometimes by the time you do that for 3 or 4 years, when you're ready to start church, you're already worn out.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, the other side of that is it does get more people engaged, to get more people involved. Everybody can have a role in it. I get that. But there's something about not having to do that's coming on Sunday morning just focused on making much of Jesus. So the third point is a central space for under-resourced communities, and that's what you were talking about.
Yes, that's right.
Okay,
so
go with that a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I think – and let me throw it out to you guys. I think what this raises to me is, okay, how can we – and especially in the context of church revitalization and replanting, how can we use our building – in ways that not only bless our community, but help us build bridges with the lost in our community. Okay?
I do want you to hear this in replanting. Are you ready? And revitalization and renewal. Many times, guys, the only real physical, tangible, not spiritual asset, but physical, tangible asset you have is often your building.
Mm-hmm.
Because frankly, many times the people remaining in that church are elderly. They don't have the strength they used to have. They don't have the courage they used to have. They don't have the drive they used to have. They're just sort of going through the motions. And so what you do have, though, is you have a building. Now, it may not be a great-looking building, but like in your case, Mark, you're not in a great-looking neighborhood.
No. People don't care.
It fits, right? But it's a building.
It's a building. Yep,
and so
you
have to step back and go, wow, look at this. I've got 7,000 square feet, 8,000 square feet. I got a parking lot.
That's right.
I got a lawn. What can we do to leverage this for the kingdom?
So and let's just dream for a second. Let's just think through.
Well, you've already mentioned.
So I shared about the birthday party.
Yeah, but let's don't pass over that. Most dying churches, declining churches, you've got more Sunday school space than you're ever probably going to use again.
Yeah.
Because at least in the near future. So take some of those Sunday school rooms and turn them into birthday party rooms.
Yeah.
Paint the walls bright colors, put animals on the walls, bring in some fancy carpet squares and pretty stuff, and just put happy birthday on the wall and say we got a birthday party room.
Yeah.
And then on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, say, hey, if your kid needs a place to have a birthday party,
come.
And you can go to our website, you can sign up, and if one of our members can host it, you know, you got some rules. You can't chew tobacco, and you can't drink, and you can't smoke, and all that kind of stuff. But basically, and then you could also, if you really want to take it to the next level, you could maybe have some of the older ladies in your church who can bake well, and you could say, hey, we could even make a cake for your child.
You know,
and maybe we could provide the balloons, and maybe it becomes a ministry providing birthday parties for underserved kids in your neighborhood. Yeah. And you could do a whole thing. The other thing would be, If you've got a place where, like you have in your neighborhood, where I'll try to slow down here.
I love it.
Okay.
No, keep going, man.
I get
pumped.
If you've got a place in your neighborhood, you know, a lot of you have one bedroom apartments, you know, apartment complexes, and sometimes houses that have been divided up into apartments, and there's no washers and dryers in them, right? And so if you're a single mom or a single dad, you got to put 2 or 3 kids in the car and a week's worth of laundry, and you go to a laundromat, and you got to pump quarters in it, right?
Yep.
And you got to have the laundry, the cleaning. But even more than that, you got to take care of these kids while the laundry's being done, and then you got to fold it, and you got to, man, put some washers and dryers in one of those empty Sunday school rooms and let the people in your community know, Thursday nights from 6 to 10 and Saturday mornings from 9 to 3. Mm-hmm. You can come and do your laundry for free, and we will watch your kids. And you may not have any That's children cool. in Sunday school,
yeah. Yeah.
but if you do that, you'll have lots of kids you can talk to Jesus about.
Mm.
And so find ways, you know, and again, say, hey, if most dying churches have a kitchen and have a fellowship hall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, a lot of times in neighborhoods, people don't have big dining rooms anymore.
Yeah.
So if grandma and grandpa have a 50th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
say, hey, you can use our church building.
Yeah.
Look, I know some of your heads are exploding, your kitchen committee heads. And some of them, don't just come in and tell the kitchen committee lady, hey, yeah. I heard this on a podcast and we're going to let people use. No, chill
yeah.
out a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ease into this.
Yep.
But. It find ways to say, how can we make sure this building's being used literally every day of
yeah,
the
yeah,
week?
That's right.
I could go on and on, yeah. man.
Here's some other ideas we've done. So one,
go for it.
Sometimes churches, you know, not every, but in the South, you know, back in the, I don't know, you would know better than me, maybe 70s, 80s, there was a thing to build a gym. I mean,
all gyms. Yeah.
But a lot of, you know, again, I know not everybody listening has a big church like that, but there are a lot of dying churches struggling that have gyms.
They believe the Family Life
yeah,
Center.
The Family Life
we
Center.
Just build it, they
yeah,
will come.
Yeah, that's right.
And they didn't.
And I go, well, they're there. It's like, well, man, with youth sports as popular as they yeah. are today, what if we could use this as a ministry outreach, especially to families who can't afford to send their kids to all these club teams and
yeah.
stuff. How could we utilize that for that sake? We've used rooms in our church to host, things like Boy Scouts,
mm-hmm.
Girl Scouts. We had a cheerleading, our fellowship, and we're not a big building, you know that.
No.
But we had a cheerleading team from one of the schools that needed space, and our fellowship hall ceilings are high. We said, come on in. You guys
yeah.
can practice here. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's getting creative.
We had quilt clubs. We had Daughters of American Revolution. We had contact the nonprofits in your community and just say, hey, is there anything our church building could be used for?
We had
at Warnell, we had a day camp that was run for mentally challenged teenagers.
Mm.
And they needed a place that had a fellowship hall and a kitchen. And so, yeah, we just let them use that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's an amazing thing when you've got a building that can bless the community.
That's right.
And when I went to Warnell, they had a three-ring binder that said this was the building use policies.
Yeah.
Well, there were 18 elderly people left and a building of, you know, that could seat 600 people and a huge three-story mm-hmm. education space. And, like, we didn't need a building use policy handbook or three-ring binder. And so we prayed about it, talked about it, and they trusted me and they trusted Jesus. And so our building use policy was this. Is it biblical? Is it legal? Do the pastors want to do it, and does it glorify God?
Mm.
And if it's those things, we do it. We let the church, we let people use the building all the time. And so the building became a real center. It still is for the community. And so, man, it's a sacred space.
Yep.
It's a place to gather. It's a place to bless the community.
Let me give just one leadership insight that I think is key, though. If you want to bridge, so it's not just a building being used by outside groups, but you are actually engaging people with the gospel of Jesus and loving people and hopefully leading some of these people to Jesus. You as the lead pastor, you got to be present.
Yes.
And show up, not every week, but you got to regularly just pop in. We're so glad you guys are here.
Yeah.
It is such a joy to have you. Anything you need, let us know. And you're loving on folks. You're building trust with those leaders. And then you secondly need to help your people engage those groups as well. Because I think this is where we can let it fall. There's a lot of churches that have a lot of groups meeting in their building, and nobody even really knows or cares. The office checks them in and checks them out.
So true.
So what I'd say is the whole point, actually, is to share the love of Christ with these groups. Does that make sense?
It does. And to have all kinds of biblical tracts laying around.
Oh, yeah.
Bibles and say, hey, free take one. Take this book. Make sure there's all kinds of resources that they can easily grab and take a hold of. And you need to be there, as you say, physically. And anytime there's something going on in your building, one of your members needs to be there to host it.
To make sure
everybody's all right. You know, and again, something like if there's a community event, like we used to have a – they still do. There's a St. Patrick's Day parade that goes right past our church. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We put up big signs that say restrooms are open, and we let people.
I love that. It's simple, but so important.
And we had people that constantly were cleaning the restrooms, replacing the paper towels and the soap. Mm-hmm. And I mean to tell you, people were excited that we would actually open up our building, let people come in and use the restroom during a big parade like that. I mean, be as creative as you can to just love people and serve people and leverage that building and use it for the kingdom. And in the building, have scriptures on the wall. Mm, and again, have things that they can pick up and take home with them.
Yeah.
And you'll be amazed at how people, many people, never even been in a church building. Haven't been in a church building for years. And maybe they go by your building every day.
Yep.
If it's a place where people vote, if you're a polling place, then get there early. Yeah. Have all kinds of food set up and coffee for the voters and give lunch to the polling workers. Just let people know you love them.
Dude, it's all this stuff, guys, is turning a negative witness or even just a no witness into a positive witness for Christ so that the community sees this building. And it's, again, not about the building. But you know what? There's something about the people in that building. There's something about the Jesus that they're about in that building.
They care about people.
They care
and
about
people.
And, you
know, again, you can have the most amazing, first-rate, beautiful, multi-million-dollar facility. And frankly, it can seem sort of off-putting to people. Like, I don't really belong here.
I don't belong here.
I don't want to touch the things in here. This is, if you're like the rest
of us,
if you got this old mid-century building that looks like, man, people don't mind.
But come on in.
Come on in, man. Make yourself at home. You can't mess this place up. It's already got carpet stains, you know.
That's right.
Come on in. I really think sometimes we need to lean into that and
say
we're not about beautiful facilities. Yeah. We're about loving people.
That's right. That's
I know I've told this story before, but I've told every story before. But when I was at Warnell, our bathrooms were really bad initially. They just had been ignored for a long time. And you know, they just didn't look good. Eventually, we were going to get around to fixing them up, but we didn't have the money at all. And then all of a sudden, the Kansas City Chiefs, their coach's wife at the time, she was really passionate about right-to-life things. And so she was going to have an event at our church. It's a long story why she chose our church, but the neighborhood was correct. So she was going to have an event. She asked to use our church to have this right-to-life event. And many of the chief's wives were going to be there. Lamar Hunt's wife, who was still living at the time, was going to be there. Clark Hunt's wife was going to be there. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, all these chiefs and the and their coaches are coming, and our bathrooms look terrible. And so I went to our elders, and I go, man, we got to update these bathrooms. Our elders go, Clifton, we don't have the money.
Yeah.
And I said, but they look so terrible. And so what we did is we put some signs in the bathroom, and we said, we know our bathrooms don't look the best. But we're choosing to use our money to bless our community rather than fix these up right now. And, you know, that made me feel better, all right? So it's like, we're aware this is a bad-looking bathroom, all right? But you know what?
But the heart was right.
The heart was right.
Exactly.
And I think people looked at that and said, you know, I get that.
Dude, I've told you, listen, I know we got to close this up probably pretty soon here, but what we've seen over the years in our church, and again, if you've never been to our church, it is the least impressive building you've ever seen.
I would agree with that.
I mean, it is everything about it. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing. And yet, over the years, I think part of the reason the Lord has moved the way he has is our people have seen we are thankful for this building.
Sure. And you use it like
crazy. We use it like crazy. But everybody, I can tell you how many young families will come in and they'll say things like this, man. You know, normally we would look around and go, this doesn't look good. But what this screams is what you actually value.
Yeah, people.
Which is people, the gospel, mission, church planting. It's
right.
not about the building. And so what is a negative has actually become a huge positive, especially for believers who are tired of a me-centered approach to church and Christianity that is not sacrificial. And so anyway, that's why I would encourage you guys listening. If you're like, man, our building's lame, that could be one of the best things you've got going
that's
for you.
That's right.
If you see it that way, does that make sense?
Right. So every community needs a sacred space. You need a place to gather for worship. But more importantly, the community needs a place where you can serve them through the use of that building. All right? That's why church buildings matter. And again, more in some cultures than others. I mean, if you're in a rural Missouri, rural Arkansas culture, you're going to – if you don't have a church building, that's a huge bar for you to try to go over to try to convince people that you're a legitimate church. Yeah. And, you know, in some more places in urban settings, it's not as important. But if you God has given you a building, lean into it and use it, all right?
We had a hog roast at our parking lot one time.
On purpose or an accident?
On purpose.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought maybe something bad happened.
And the whole point of that was to – I was brand new at this church at Emerald Spring in Missouri. And I said, what can we do in our community to make a difference? Because it was kind of a rural area. So there weren't that many people close to the church building. And so the area was pretty spread out. And the people really didn't know each other that well. The old-timers did. Yeah. But there were a lot of new people moving into the area. And so one of them said, well, you know, we got that parking lot. They can park there and commute from there. And I said, well, yeah, we can start it up as a commuter parking lot.
You mean commuting to the city to work?
Yeah, because okay. We were about 20-some-odd miles from the city.
Yeah.
And so we said, okay. Set it up as a commuter, and they when we put you know let the community know you want to use this as you know park here and commute from here, that's fine, and so that worked well. Then somebody got the idea, you know, why don't we, since we got the parking lot, we've never had a hog roast and we should have a hog roast.
Well, at least yeah,
because we're out in the country here. And I said, well, if you guys want to do it, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And so one of the guys said, yeah, I'll fix the hog and everything. Man, the word spread. We put flyers on all the windshields, you know.
Of the cars, yeah, there you go.
We're having a hog roast, you know, coming up. And that we packed that parking lot.
Wow.
Yeah, we couldn't pack the church, but we packed that parking lot. Yeah. You know, man, we had a hog roast like you wouldn't believe. Well, after it was all over with and that evening, you know, I lived right next to the church. The parsonage was right next to the church. This big old tanker truck moves up. Guy gets out, you know, he just starts spraying down the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen this guy before, you know. And I walked over and I said, hey, appreciate you cleaning it up. And he says, hey, Pastor, he says, sure enjoyed the hog roast, you know. I didn't know who this guy was from Adam, you know. But this was his place,
that's
you know.
Sweet. He was cleaning it up.
He cleaned it up for us, and then he started coming to church, and he cleaned the church, the parking lot. That was his ministry.
That's really thing. Cool.
Yeah. So your church building does matter to your community. Find ways that it makes a difference. We hope to see you again. We ought to have a video blog sometime.
We should.
Maybe not.
But not today.
Yeah, that's a bad choice.
I'm still in my pajamas this morning. So.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.